We are so thankful to be able to come to you with this gospel broadcast. We appreciate you gathering together with us. And we invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of the Revelation. We have been in the book of Ezekiel, looking at the enfolding fire and the living creatures. And that brought us over to the book of the Revelation, where we see those living creatures listed out in Revelation 4 and in chapter 4. And verse number 7, it lists them out just like they are in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 10. Well, as we studied those last broadcast, we got into the four beasts calling forth the first four horsemen. Well, I want to back up just a little bit because we skipped over something that is really important, and that is the sealed book. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 1, if you'll turn there with us, we'll look today at the sealed book. Revelation 5, 1, and I saw in the right hand, that's important. We'll go back and see why in a minute. And I saw in the right hand, why does it say the right hand? Why didn't it just say I saw him holding a book? Because there's something important. Don't ever read over and pass over something in the scriptures that you think is insignificant. There's nothing about God that's insignificant. Everything about God is important and glorious. The only thing about it is we don't understand it sometimes, and we think because it seems to be ordinary to us, then it makes God ordinary in that particular circumstance. But God's not ordinary in any circumstance. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. We saw that in chapter 4 and verse 1. A door was opened in heaven. And he said there was one that sat on the throne and talking to me. A throne was set in heaven and one sat on the throne. And he said to me, come up hither. Now, folks, that's not telling John to get on an elevator or an escalator and to physically rise up above what he was. It means, spiritually speaking, God's talking to the church. Redemption has been accomplished. We're going to get away from the law of Moses. It didn't work. It wasn't supposed to work. No man's ever been justified by the law. Now, I want you to understand and see that since redemption has been accomplished and God has been satisfied, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Greatest word in the entire Bible, satisfaction. For God to be satisfied with you and God to be satisfied with me is a glorious thing. Dear soul, we are creatures of the dust, creatures of the dirt. We are sinners by nature. But now God is satisfied with us. How did that happen? Jesus Christ died and he sat on the cross as recorded in John 19 and verse 30. It is finished. It's done. Sin is handled. God is satisfied. I can bring the redeemed of God now into the very presence of his glory. So he said, come up hither. That's what we have here. And in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, this same person in chapter 4 and verse 2, that sat on the throne in verse number 1 that said, come up hither, is saying, okay, now I want you to see what you're in for. When the new president is elected, he begins to bring forth his administration. These are the platforms upon which we were elected. This is what I told you I was going to do. Now I'm going to implement it. God had, by the law, for 4,000 years talked to us about Messiah and told us about sin and how we're going to have an opportunity to come and stand in the presence of God, spiritually speaking. And now it's happened. So here is the administration of the new king. Jesus has in his right hand that which is going to take place in the church. What is the new world with God going to look like? Well, it ain't going to look like a priest going into the Holy of Holies in a curtain. Why? He tore the curtain in two. It's not going to look like a dead animal with blood sprinkled everywhere because God said no more sacrifice of animals because the blood of bulls and goats never took away one sin. But the Lamb of God has taken away all sin. That's different. Come up hither. Get away from the thoughts and the thinking of legalistic performance of morality. That got Israel in trouble and it damned them all. And it's bad, dear soul. You can't go before God with the blood of bulls and goats. You go before God with the righteous blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that is washed your, what can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So come up hither. Let's think different now. This is a whole new era. There are two dispensations, the old economy, the Old Testament, the old contract, same thing. And now the new contract, the New Testament, the new contract, the new covenant. This is how it's going to be from now on. And there's not going to be a third. This is it. The old and the new. And he has done away with one, and he has brought and established the other. I wish I could find that verse real quick in Hebrews chapter 9. I think it is. I always do this to myself. I don't know why I do this to myself. Say something about a scripture and then, oh, thank you, Lord. Here it is. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 9. Then said Christ, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first covenant, the first contract, the first dealing with God through the blood of bulls and goats and human priests, that he may establish the second. That is the new covenant, the New Testament. Here it is. It's done. It is finished. The blood has been received. The blood has done its job. It has washed away the sin of the entire church. And now we are told to come up hither. Come into the realm of the spiritual. Get away from the legalistic morality. But you know what? Poor old Baptists are still in that. They think they're saved and they're Christians because of them being squeaky clean. And they got certain rules and regulations. And it's a lie of the devil today that the only two things that people consider themselves to be Christian by is, number one, I never have aborted a baby, and number two, I'm not a homosexual. That ain't what God said. We're so far away from God in America. It's a wonder that we're still in existence. It's not membership in a legal organization. It is a living and dwelling in a spiritual organism. We are born again, born from above. So we are to come up hither. And so he says, I saw in his right hand, the hand of his power, the hand of his authority, Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's where the authority and the representation of God is located. So there's that book. It's sealed, though, with seven seals. Seven is God's perfect number. 666 is man, man, man. What is 666? It's one short of God. Man, man, man. You're missing God. Yeah, but you think you're holy. Yeah, but you go through all these motions. Yeah, but you tip your hat to God on Sunday or whatever day you meet and say, I put a dollar in the plate, I'm fine. Now just forget God. Now I can get in my pickup truck and go do what I want to do. We're in a mess. God's perfect number is seven, the holiness and the glory of God. There are seven trumpets. There are seven seals. Dear soul, there are seven angels standing. Dear soul, everything is stamped by God's holiness with a number seven. That's the way it is. And this book is sealed with seven seals. Man's not going to open this book. 666 can't open this book. Man, 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 one short of God, one short of God, one short of God. You ain't getting in. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. 777, perfection of God. Listen, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. This book is not in the hands of a librarian, dear soul. It's the hand, in the hand of a sovereign ruler, Lord, and King, sitting on the throne. Not a throne, not some throne, but the throne. This is the highest throne, the highest authority no man can do these things except thou doest, except God be with him. You have to understand, yes, but God's just not with me. I am God. And dear sir, thou could have no authority over me except it was given thee from above. Every authority, every power there is derived from God mediating that power to man. So here we have, I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside. What does that mean? It means that you can't make an addition to it. Well, we're going to make an addendum. No, you're not. There's no space to write anything else. God didn't forget anything. God didn't get a hiccup and say, uh-oh, I forgot to put in. No, it's written within and on the backside. Where is there left to write anything else? There's not. Why? Because God has completed and fulfilled everything and predestinated according to the counsel of his own goodwill and according to the glory of his grace. You're not going to change it. You can't add to it. And God said, I'm going to tell you something. If you try to take away anything from this book, I'm going to take away all the promises of God from you. And if you try to add anything to this book, I'm going to add all the plagues that are written in this book to you. Don't mess with it. Get in it, live in it, ask God, what does it mean? That's what we're trying to do today. Look at it, and let's see what God has to say for us. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. The devil had 4,000 years of Mosaic law to change this. Couldn't get in it. Jesus said, I have the keys of death and hell and the grave. I can lock and no man can open, and I can open and no man can shut it. Devil can't get in. Why? Don't have a key. Now, he makes up stuff and tries to make you think that this is a God when he brings up these crazy things that he perverts from the Bible. But it said he has sealed with seven seals, and a strong angel proclaimed with a loud voice. Want everybody to hear this. Here is the key to opening this book. What is the question? Who is worthy? Look around. You find anybody worthy? What about in man? Well, in mankind, no. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What about angels? They don't have any redemption. The minute they sin, bam, they go straight into the pits of darkness to be chained. And there's so there's nobody except one that is worthy that is able to loose the seals thereof. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. You need to understand that. It's a strong messenger with a loud voice, effectual. This is the way that it is. It can't be any different. The key to opening this book has to be with worthiness. So who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? You're going to have to peel back every seal. You're going to have to pick every lock. And you can't do that. Listen, verse 3, no man in heaven. Moses, you're in heaven? Yep. Abraham, you're in heaven? Yep. David, you're in heaven? Yep. Samuel, yep. Elijah, yep. Can you open the book? No. Why aren't you worthy? Because my acceptance with God is not by my worthiness, it's by Christ's worthiness given to me. My righteousness is loaned to me, if you will. It's not my righteousness, but only as God has given it to me. So, no man in heaven, nor in earth. John, aren't you the disciple whom Jesus loved? Yep. Can you open it? No, I'm going to be the one that starts crying. What about you, Saul of Tarsus? Didn't God meet you on that road and change you from Saul to Paul, the great apostle? And you wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament? Yep. You open it? No. Why? Because my worthiness is imputed. I'm not worthy of myself. We got to find somebody that's worthy because he's worthy. Not worthy because he was made worthy. not worthy because he was loaned worthiness or righteousness was given to him by somebody else, but he's got to be worthy of his own. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book. Why did he not have the ability? Because he didn't have the worthiness. It's worthiness that gives you the ability to open the book and to look thereon. What's the result? John in Revelation 5 representing the church, and there they are. They're Israelites. They've walked with Jesus on earth for his ministry. They've seen things that they never would have seen apart from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they don't know anything but the tabernacle and the synagogue. Read the book of Acts. Where did Peter and James and John and some of them go for prayer? To the synagogue. What was there about that? That was what was established in the old economy. It's gone. It's dead. No man's worthy to open and see what's next. What are we going to do? We're up against a wall here. There's no door. What are we going to do? I don't know what to do, John said. All I know what to do is to weep. I can't go and offer a lamb. It's forbidden. In the old economy, if you didn't offer a lamb, you'd die and go to hell. But now, since Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, have died, if you try to offer an animal lamb, you'll die and go to hell. You can't come by any other way than the Lord Jesus Christ. But it hadn't been opened yet. The book is sealed up. What are we going to do? I'm up against a wall. Where's the door? Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door of the sheep. If any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture to his soul. Oh, Lord Jesus, open it up for us. Dear soul, listen, he said, and I wept much because no man was found worthy. No man was found worthy. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse number 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. I thought he was sitting across the desk from Nicodemus and talking to him by night. He was. Well, how can he say he's in heaven? Because he's very God of very God. He is in all places at all times and can't be shut out of anything. You can't find a man that can do that. You can't find a man that can ascend up to heaven. You can plant Jack's magic beans and climb his beanstalk in fantasy and fiction, and Walt Disney can help you with that, but Jesus Christ can't and won't. Dear soul, listen. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Jesus Christ has come down from heaven, and even now he is in heaven, John 3:13. So here we are. John said, I wept much. And it's not just John weeping individually, but he is an individual man that represents the entirety of the Old Testament saints. He's a representative man. He represents all of those Israelites that now have to stop sacrificing the blood of animals. Can't go into the Holy of Holies because the veil has been torn and the Holy of Holies is polluted. What are we going to do? Well, let's go talk to the priest. Out of order. Priesthood's changed. Can't have that. Well, what are we going to do? Weep. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read and to look upon the book. Dear soul, we as Christians have been brought up in churchianity so much we just take it for granted. Well, I can just open my Bible when I want to. Just throw it down, you know, on the couch when I get home and go get me a glass of tea. Don't think anything about it. It ain't special. Well, this is not the book anyhow, but I'm just talking about a book you do recognize. you got to understand, dear soul, that you can't get in except by Christ, the door. You can't know God except by Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath revealed him. He hath declared him. He hath brought him out where he might be seen. No man knoweth the Father but the Son. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father and he to whom he will reveal him. You can't know God except through Jesus Christ. Well, we go to the Pope and say hocus pocus, Kellerman lotion, you know, and put a vanilla wafer on my tongue and say, it's the body of Christ. It ain't the body of Christ. It's a vanilla wafer that the Catholic Church is going to charge you for, going to bill you for. How are you going to get to God? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work alone, period. That's it. I wept much because there's no man worthy. Dear soul, the Pope ain't worthy. I hope that shakes you up. Your grandmama ain't worthy. You say she was a godly woman. I hope she was. But she knew if she was a godly woman, she knew her worthiness was not from her. Her natural birth didn't produce anything but a sinner. If she was a righteous woman, then her worthiness came from a new birth by the Lord Jesus Christ shedding his blood. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open, to read, or to look upon the book. And one of the elders, the heavenly Sanhedrin, as it were, I don't know how to explain it any more than that because I don't understand it any more than that. Being honest with you, I didn't come over here to lie to you. I come over here to be honest with you. Listen. And one of the elders saith unto me, John, writing this book, representative man, representative of the whole church. Listen. Peter and James and John can't get in. Saul of Tarsus ain't going to get called on the road to Damascus. There ain't going to be no entrance. It's all sealed up. We got to find somebody that's worthy. He's got to be worthy of his own volition. I don't like that word. Of his own intrinsic worth. It comes from within him. He has to be very God to be absolutely pure and powerful and priceless, but he has to be very man in order to be able to shed blood and die. If you cannot find a God-man who is man enough to die but God enough to resurrect, we ain't going to get this book open. But we have. Come see a man that told me all that ever I did, the woman of Samaria said at the well. She ran back to the city and told those guys that. And Nathaniel, he goes and tells his brother, listen, I think I've found the Messiah. Is not this the Christ? And listen, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Wonderful gospel message. Stop crying. Well, if that's just a suggestion, it ain't going to help a bit. I remember weeping over getting punished and being told, you stop that crying or I'll give you something to cry about. Well, why are you telling me to stop crying? You're the one who made me cry because you whipped me. But now they say, weep not. Well, that didn't help me. I just had to get out from their presence and go and finish weeping because they said, stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. I didn't want any more whipping. And that didn't make any sense either. Don't whip me and then tell me not to weep. Listen, but this is weep not. And there's a reason. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Now we're getting somewhere. The book is in the sovereign right hand of the one on the throne. You can't get that book out of his hand. And even if you could, there's seven seals on it. It's locked up seven ways from Sunday, as they used to say. You can't get in it. But there is one that fits the bill. He is worthy. Thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us to God. Isn't that good? God is so good. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So you are the one that liveth forever and ever, and you're the one to whom we cast our crowns, because we understand and see and know that you are worthy. You're the only worthy being. He's very God and he's very man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. I don't understand that. How can these things be? The woman said, I know not a man. You don't need a man. The Holy Ghost of God shall overshadow thee. The power of the highest shall come upon thee. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I know that. I can quote that to you. And I know it's the truth. And I don't even hesitate to give you that, because I know it's the God's truth. But I don't know how it is. How did it happen? Great is the mystery of godliness. I don't know. As far as that goes, I don't know about how in the world God attaches a spiritual soul to a physical body in the womb of a woman fixing to have a baby. Oh, well. Weep not. Behold. Look upon something. Experience something. And not just something, somebody. And not just somebody, but a particular body. Nobody like him. Ever has been like him, ever will be like him. He is unique. He is very God of very God, and he's very man of very man. He is the one that God can say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He was begotten of God, the unique man, the man Christ Jesus, the mediator between the man, God and man. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the root of David. David sprang forth from him. He's the root that brought forth David, King David. Listen, notice these words, Revelation 5:5. Hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. He hath prevailed. My soul, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, endured the shame, despising the shame, endured it, and now is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He hath prevailed. I don't think we know, and I don't think we can know, and I don't think we will ever know, not experientially anyhow, what it was like. And somebody wrote a song, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Somebody sent me that words of that song, I think it is. And My Lord has garments so wondrous fine, and my warm their texture feels. Its fragrance reaches to his heart, to this heart of mine, and with joy my being thrills. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. I don't think we will ever know. I don't think we can know. I don't think we understand how Jesus Christ endured and tolerated going from spiritual, glorious, pure essence of being God, I and the Father are one, to transcending down into the humanity of man. I know that there are pre-incarnate appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ pictured in the Scripture. We saw that in Ezekiel 1:26. Above the firmament, above the sapphire pavement, there was one sitting on a throne. He had the appearance of a man. Pre-incarnate manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 13:8. As a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How long has God loved you? Well, God loved me from all eternity. I'm going to have to sit down a minute. Well, how can he place his love upon us who were going to fall into sin? He can't enter into our sinfulness with us. And he didn't. There had to be somebody that would stand there and say, I'll pay for their sins. I'll be a surety for their sins. I assure you, you can go ahead and love them, Father, because whatever they have done, whatever they owe, whatever the debt of sin is, I will pay for it completely. And you will hear me say one day, and we'll record it in John 19 and verse 30, it is done. It is finished. The debt has been paid. Sin and its transgression is done with. I'll take care of it. And dear soul, how in the world can we look at that person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, we get glimpses of him. I saw a throne above the firmament, the sapphire pavement, and there in the dimly lit mystery of the revelation of pre-incarnate glory, there was a throne and one sat upon it. And Moses goes and says, let me go see this great sight. Here's something I've never seen before, a bush crackling and popping and carrying on and fire and warmth and light is coming from it, but it ain't burning up. God said, don't come over here unless you take your shoes off your feet and understand this is holy ground, because this is me, God, the consuming fire that don't need that bush for fuel. I am my own fire. I am my own glory. The Lord our God is a jealous God. He is a consuming fire. And stepping down from that glory and coming into the actual womb of that virgin, I don't know how to talk about it. How did he endure that? How much of a demotion that must have been for him to come into that which had to turn his head to see to the left or to the right, or turn around to see what was behind him, when it at one time the eyes of God go focus throughout the whole earth and show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Needs to go from Jerusalem to Bethany. How are you going to get there? Got to walk. Got to go from into Jerusalem. How are you going to get there? Borrow a donkey. But as God, he was everywhere at all times. How must this have been hard on him? I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I do know that there was an endurance. He hath prevailed. He didn't quit. He didn't stop. He didn't say, Father, listen, it's bad enough for me to become a human being. Now you telling me I got to become sin? I don't want to do it. The sludge of toxic waste gradually pollutes the pristine lake as the factory dumps its waste out on the ground, and it comes in that filthy, wicked, slimy, stinking, toxic sludge into what had been a beautiful, pristine lake. How did he stand it? I don't know. But he hath prevailed. That's what made him worthy. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. He has now won the right to open the book. Who's going to get us into the New Testament? Who's going to get us into the New Covenant? Who's going to bring forth the spiritual church and translate us over from Moses' law, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, and slack the sacrifice of blood of bulls and goats, shedding of the blood of bulls, into the redeeming work of Almighty God by the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ? How's he going to do it? He's going to be worthy. How's he going to be worthy? He's going to prevail. What does that mean? I don't know entirely, but I know this. Whatever the need was, whatever God the Father required, Jesus did it. God the Son did it. He accomplished everything that was necessary. And God's eye was upon him. He shall see the travail of his soul. We look at the cross and we see the nails. Had to be horrible. I understand that. We see the thorns. Had to be excruciating pain. I understand that. Blood dripping down into your eyes. A Roman spear thrust up into your side with some old uncouth bully of a man with a spear that had not been sterilized and not been cleansed from the last time it stuck into anybody that was the enemy of Rome. How did he tolerate? I don't know, but he did. He hath become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He prevailed. It worked. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can stop weeping, Old Testament believer. You women going down on the first day of the week, you followed Joseph of Arimathea to see where the body would be laid. And you got up early in the morning and you got your sisters and Mary Magdalene and so forth, and y'all went down. And on the way down, you say, just thought of something. What is it? How in the world is us women going to roll away that big old stone that's on the mouth of the cave? We got 100 weight of aloes and spices and ointments, and we're going to purify and cleanse a dead body. That's the Old Testament mindset. We're going to wash a dead body. But dear soul, lo and behold, by the time they get there, not only is the stone rolled away, but the body is alive. And it's not just alive like Lazarus was alive, because Lazarus died again. It's alive like God is alive, and he goes back into heaven alive. He ascends up on high. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus whom you see go away shall so come in like manner. He defeated death and hell and the grave. He is the one that's worthy. He's the one that's going to open the book for us. He's the only one that can lead us into redemptive grace. He's the only one that can bring us into the birth of the organism of the church. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, I would too. Did you look on earth? Yep, nobody worthy. You look on in heaven? Yep, nobody worthy. You look under the under heaven, under the earth? Yep, nobody worthy. Yonder's one worthy. You're going to look? Yeah, I'm going to look because I want to see this. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. Get that. Jesus Christ doesn't just sit on a throne. He is in the midst of the sovereignty that the throne represents. He is the throne. He is the sovereign God. To see Him is to see sovereign glory. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. In Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also have overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Revelation 3:21. So you're going to be brought into the essence of God's glory. Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. As thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world, I pray that you would love them. And I will be in them and thou in me, that they may be one in us. Heaven ain't just going and getting away from the IRS and having to pay taxes and ingrowing toenails and COVID. Heaven is going into the presence of glory. Not just glory standing over there and we get into His presence. The presence of glory. You shall be like me. Listen, for you shall see me as I am. 1 John 4:5, look it up. Listen. And I beheld in the midst of the throne, and in the midst of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Been slain? Yes. But he's standing right there. How'd he do that? Because he prevailed. Listen, Jesus don't wobble on the axle. Jesus don't quit halfway. He's not only the Alpha to start this thing off, He's the Omega, and He's going to finish. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. He hath prevailed. You say, what man of you starting out to build a house and you run out of money and you leave it halfway and the weeds begin to grow up in there where somebody's supposed to be living, but you didn't finish it, you didn't put the roof on it because you didn't prevail. And everybody says, that's what old John did. He went down here and tried to start a house. It's going to be a grand house, but he ran out of money and couldn't do it. Jesus didn't run out of anything. He did it. He prevailed. Dear soul, you don't owe anybody any respect and anybody any worship, anybody any acclamation of righteousness except Jesus Christ. He did it. Listen, a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns. All power is given me in authority in heaven and in earth, and seven eyes. He perceives and understands everything. How did you know that I was down here under the fig tree, Nathaniel said. Jesus said, you're going to see greater things than this. He has seven eyes. Dear soul, you can't do anything apart from Christ's knowledge, apart from God knowing it. Listen, He is the Lamb that had been slain. He's alive forevermore. He's prevailed. He's going to open this book. And dear soul, listen, the opening of the book requires an accomplished redemption. How can the Old Testament church go into the New Testament age? They're all shaking and quivering up there in that upper room and not wanting to go out because they're scared the scribes and Pharisees are going to kill them. How are you going to change that? The Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David hath prevailed. He sends forth His Spirit, He empowers them, and now they're not in an upper room trying to hide. They're out in the middle of the 17 different nations, nationalities of Jews, and preaching Christ boldly and refusing to be stopped and refusing to be silenced. How did that happen? Because the Lamb of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Listen, He has seven horns, all power. Go in that power. All authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore in that power. Listen, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. How many Holy Spirits are there? They're one. But this is not seven different spirits. It's the seventh. It's the Spirit diffusing Himself in that holy and complete way. Didn't I tell you seven was the number of God's perfection, that means there's nowhere the Holy Spirit is not. There's nowhere that can shut out or stop the Holy Spirit. Can't be done. He is diffused throughout the whole earth. All authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, the Holy Spirit that Jesus said is another comfort that I will send. He's here and he's everywhere and he's diffused into every area and every aspect of life. Therefore, he's called the seven spirits. Listen. And when he, the lamb that had been slain, the worthy one, had taken the book, the four beasts, the life of God and the soul of man, every true born-again believer, and the 24 elders, the collection of the entirety of the church, the 12 apostles, excuse me, the 12 apostles and prophets in the Old and New Testament, 24, 4, and 20, listen, make up the complete and entirety of the church. It said, as soon as he took the book, they fell down and before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. How'd they get those harps? The Lord Jesus Christ ever comes into your heart, you won't be able to hide. Put a song in your heart. They're having harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now you can commune with God. Now you can talk to God. Now you can be in the presence of God. And we know that if he hears us, he will grant us that which we ask. And dear soul, God said, ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Are you exercising your authority and your power that this sovereign, holy Lamb has given you? Are you lazily not taking advantage of the privileges that the Lamb of God has given you today? Ask. Put him to the test. Seek. Seek the things of God. Well, my children or my grandchildren, they're so much into sin, I don't know what's going to happen. Ask. Seek. Knock. Lord, open up to me. Don't quit knocking. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. He prevailed for you. He prevailed for the glory of God. Get involved with this. Listen. When he had taken the book, the four beasts, the life of God in the soul of man, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them. You're not without a harp. You're not without a vial. Let me hear you play it. Let me hear you pour out those prayers to God. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't be just a religious performer in churchanity. Be a spiritual being in the body of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John 19:14, because I live, ye shall live also. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Let me ask you something. Does the branch on the vine have any root? No. But how does it live? It's connected to the vine. The vine has the root. God is granting you life. Grow something for Jesus. Grow some fruit. Bring forth that which you need to be bringing forth to the glory of Almighty God. Listen. And they sang a new song. Who taught it to them? Their harps were given to them. They didn't give them a harp and then a music book and say, here's eight easy lessons on how to play a harp. Giving them the harp represented them being brought to the ability of playing it. And he says, and they sang a new song. Can't nobody sing the new song except those that are redeemed. And they sang a new song saying, what's the title of the song? Thou art worthy. What's the words of the song? Thou art worthy. What's the reason for the song? Thou art worthy. Dear soul, do you realize that you're made for the praising of Almighty God? Have you said, bless the Lord, O my soul, today? Have you said it in this past week or in this past month or ever in your Christian life? Are you not always saying, God bless me? Why don't you say, God bless God? Why don't you say, bless the Lord? Let me bless God. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Psalm 103. They sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. Thou art worthy to open the seals thereof. I'm not weeping anymore. I'm singing. The seals don't make me weep. The seals make me rejoice and praise God. For thou wast slain. You have prevailed by being slain. And thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. It didn't require him to get his wallet out of his back pocket and hand you a few dollars. It required him to open up his veins and pour out his life's blood for you. Dear soul, you've been bought at a great price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Praise the Lord. Glorify the Lord. You want God to open up the heavens? You want God to open up a new Christian life for you? You want God to open up the spiritual experience of the glory of God? You want to quit just being a performer of religious morality, then come before God and worship Him. Forget the benches, forget the songbooks, forget the curriculum. I don't know how to call it. You know, this is the order of service. The order of service with God is spontaneous. Spontaneous. Dear soul, it don't matter whether you're in the chicken yard or the churchyard. It don't matter whether you're in the church house or no matter where you are. If the Holy Spirit moves upon you and gives you the opportunity to see and perceive that God has opened the door into heaven for you and says, come up hither, then you start praising God right where you are. Remember that old song, Bright in the Corner Where You Are? God hath ordained you to be where you are, when you are, that you might find the Lord. Acts chapter 17, long about verse 26 or so. Read it for yourself. He hath brought us to the bounds of our habitation, where you live. And He hath made you to be what you are, dear soul. You need to praise and worship God, not according to us, to a religious performance or religious, a map of how, when. Well, we can't praise God except 11:30 on Sunday morning. What are you going to do if Jesus comes back on Saturday night? What are you going to do if Jesus comes back on Thursday morning? What is He going to find you doing? Well, that's when I go to my club. That's when I go and do this, that, and the other. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. There ain't nobody in this entire universe, in the entire existence of all of mankind that ever hath prevailed by their blood to bring you into the presence of eternal glory and wash away your sin. You say, well, when my granddaddy died, he left me a pile of money. How's that worked out? Got you in a lot of trouble, didn't it? Money is trouble, dear friend. People always want it. They want to get it from you any way they can. And God has really turned loose the thieves upon this nation. Scam artists are getting billions, that's with a B, of dollars from Americans. God is draining this nation of its wealth by sending these thieves upon us. You know why? Because we have made money our God. We need to get back to God, friend. And if God has to send a pandemic and God has to empty your church building and God has to shut you up only to Himself, well, I wish that preacher would make us hurry up and get us back over there where we can enjoy one another. That's the reason you ain't over there, because that's all you was doing is enjoying one another. What's going to happen the second you die? Well, the people that I love and the people that I enjoyed being around, they'll be at my graveside. Well, will you know it? No. You know why? You'll be dead. You can't go with them. They can't go with you. There's only one that can meet you on the other side that is with you on this side, and that's the worthy one, the Lamb that stands in the presence of Almighty God, the Lamb who is worthy, the Lamb who has prevailed, and by thy blood has redeemed us to God. So he can open up the seven seals. That's the way that it's supposed to be. Oh, dear soul. We've got some time left this morning. Well, not much. I don't know if I need to get into that or not. But I wanted you to understand what the books are. Let me just read you the verses. Revelation chapter 20. The 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation. Verses 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. Every time you see a throne in the book of the Revelation, somebody's sitting on it. And you know who that somebody is? The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I saw a great white throne. Well, we know what that is. I got that book on, you know, millennialism, and I got that book on the second coming down at the Baptist bookstore, and it told me the great white throne. It ain't going to appear till the end of the age. Every time you hear the gospel, the great white throne is in effect, dear soul. You better be careful. Listen. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, those who are dead, their soul, in trespasses and sins, small and great, stand before God. I don't care whether he was the stable boy that cleaned the manure out of the horse stable or the king that come and got the horse and rode on it. Small and great, every one of them going to stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the books were open. That is, your works shall be revealed. And the book of life was open. Not only what you did, but who you are, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Remember, this Lamb had seven eyes. He sees and understands and knows everything about you. He understands everything about you. Let's finish up Matthew chapter 12. The book of Matthew chapter 12. If I can get to it. Beginning with verse 34. Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. God's heard every word you said, and it's revealing his heart, your heart to him. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You hear a man talk, you'll find out whether he's good or evil. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now listen to verse 37. And with this we close. Matthew 12:37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The books were opened, and another book, which is the book of life. We're going to find out not only what you did, but who you are. The book of life. Is your name written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Are you born again? Do you truly know God? Well, the other book's going to be open too, and we'll find out whether we are or not by what we've said. because out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaketh. Somebody said, what you do speaks so loud, I can't hear what you say. And that's what this is. The sealed book. We've got so much more to look at in the next lesson. I trust that you will come back and listen to the next lesson, and it will bring forth an entirely different manifestation of additional truth concerning this sealed book. We need to understand this book because it's going to have an effect on our souls individually as we stand before God eternally. God bless you. Pray for me. I pray for you. Amen.